Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Always good to start a discussion or a visit about road trips. A little bit of music from Joel and Woody and the boys of the road crew. Check out some of their great road trip inspiring music at roadcrew66.com. Always a lot of interesting stuff with those fellas. One of their songs is about the tattoo man of Route 66, Ron Jones. And a colorful character, to say the very least. I had the privilege again of seeing Ron. Hadn't seen him for a while. We happened to cross paths fittingly, at the Arenas Fudge Company and General Store near St. Robert, Missouri. Quite a fellow. If you're a fan of juvenile humor, you definitely owe it to yourself to stop at Uranus Fudge Company and General Store. And if you're not a fan of juvenile humor, well, best thing I can say is get some pictures of the colorful neon. Maybe stop at the Circus Side Show Museum and hit the road. Lots of great places up and down the road. Route 66, you know, it's not our most historic, most scenic highway, but from its inception, it's always had the best press and publicity. And as a result, it has become a living, breathing, evolving time capsule, if you will. One part Disneyland, one part museum. Always great. And one of the things that always has surprised me is that more people don't delve deeper into the story. It's there's so many different layers to this. Today we've got Larry Smith with us from Tucumcari, New Mexico, the proprietor of the Motel Safari. Hey, Mr. Larry, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Jim. I'm doing okay. Just first time on a podcast, so I had to figure out a couple of things.
I hope it wasn't too complicated.
I'm not very functional at 7 o'clock in the morning. But here I am.
I sure appreciate you joining us this morning. The whole thing we try to do here is share America's story and inspire road trips. And I miss talking to you when we were in Tucumcari. It was a kind of a whirlwind. But I get to thinking of people that can help me share America's story and inspire road trips. And, well, you definitely come to mind because, well, you've had a few road trips and Motel Safari is a destination.
Well, hope so. We've worked very hard to pick up where the tallies, the previous owners had left off. And I feel like we've done some really good things here and really put it back on the map and made it a premier stop for travelers.
Well, you know, the Motel Safari is one of the nicest of the time capsule motels on Route 66. Tucumcari is pretty fortunate because I think you have the largest collection of good vintage motels on the road, actually.
I think so. It's definitely, you know, still lives up to the Tucumcari Tonight slogan. You know, we're near what used to be, but you know, the fact that we have what we have is still pretty amazing.
Did you have a pretty good season on Route 66 this year?
Yeah, amazing year. Yeah. Every year, you know, except for 2020, of course, every year builds on the previous, and this year's broke a very big mark for us, and we're about triple what we were doing when I came into it, you know, a little over 6 years ago. So yeah, growth.
How did you ever? You see, if I remember right, you're from Tennessee.
I am from Knoxville, Tennessee.
How did you ever end up being a motel proprietor in Tucumcari?
It's a kind of roundabout story. I'll try to give the shortest version. Well, being from Tennessee, I didn't know anything about Route 66, really. I mean, I knew it was a TV show, a song. I knew it was physically a road at some point, and didn't know much more. And I was actually, back in the 90s, I was moving to L.A. with some friends, giving that a try. I worked in television before this, and we stopped in Tucumcari by chance, and I saw the sign on the interstate to pull off, and we were looking for a place to stop for the night. And I remembered it from the movie For a Few Dollars More, big spaghetti Western fan, and I just thought, well, that's kind of cool. Let's stop there, and stopped, spent the night, and then, you know, got a little taste of 66. At that point, the interstate had come through in 81, I believe, and there was still quite a bit of the vintage left. A lot of the neon was still, signs were still standing. So there was quite a bit. Unfortunately, I didn't take any pictures, didn't even think about, you know, it was pre-cell phone, so didn't whip out the camera to take pictures. But yeah, it was a cool night, and that piqued my interest. Got to LA, checked out, also pre-internet, checked out a couple of books. Just started to read up, and then LA didn't last. Went back to Tennessee, but a few years passed before I found someone else who was interested. And a buddy and I, his teenage son, hit the road in 2009 for the first time to travel 66, and it had just been building. And that, you know, a few of those trips made me want to jump in and be involved. Stuck in a corporate job I'd grown to hate, so it was a lot of factors. Turning 50 was part of it. It was a lot of things kind of came together to drive me to this. And all I did was really, I narrowed it to motel or retail. I didn't want a restaurant. I decided I'd like to be out west for a while. So narrowed it that to New Mexico and Arizona. Yeah. And this is really just timing. This is what I found.
Well, you've done a great job with this, to say the very least. You know, Route 66, it's kind of, like I say, it's not our most historic, it's not our most scenic highway, but there, I hate to use the word, but I can't find another one that fits. There's a magic about Route 66. It's something infectious. It's in the travelers you meet. It's in people like yourself that are passionate about what they're doing. It's people like Connie Loveland that have a passion for their community. Mm-hmm. And it becomes kind of addictive.
It does. It does. And that's what happened. I mean, we weren't the first trip was truly Chicago to L.A. We're trying to be as authentic as possible. Found out really quickly how hard that was, just trying to fight our way out of Chicago. But we managed pretty well. And we weren't even out of Arizona yet before we were already planning the next trip. Because we were hitting towns at the wrong time or the wrong day of the week, or missing things that we didn't know we were going to come across. So, you know, the next trip was already brewing in our heads before we even got to California on the first trip. So it was that kind of thing. And I took some different friends, traveled it with different people, different sections at different times, not always the whole thing, but it became a constant go-to for road trips. And it was exactly like you said. There is a magic. And there were people I met, Ramona at Margaret Moss, Gary at the Gay Parita, Fran at the Midpoint. There are these people that have either retired or no longer with us that really inspired me to do something, because they just seemed to be enjoying what they were doing so much and so passionate about what they were doing. And it was cool.
You know, I, of course, you would have a better understanding of this than I would, being in the motel business. But I'm in awe of some of these people like Ramona that could run a motel, you know, for 40 years or more.
Yes.
God, that is, it takes some tenacity.
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around it. It's just, I know it was different back in the day. And, you know, it's the hard part now is just trying to juggle so much that comes, you know, it's not just the motel, it's social media, and it's trying to keep up with, you know, so much, so many different things that are part of the marketing, I guess, and part of the just trying to answer questions, and they're coming at you from so many places. It's there's a lot more to it than there used to be, and I'm not sure how much she embraced that, or I think she had people helping her with some of it, but that's part of what makes it different now. But yeah, I don't know if there'll ever, I don't think there will ever be another Ramona. I think a lot of people have said that, and I agree.
It is, well, it's a different generation. I think people today, you know, when they started that or Lillian there at the Blue Swallow, they were grateful to have a steady job. They weren't interested in, you know, their focus was a little bit narrower, I suppose. It's part of it. I understand that you're thinking of starting a new chapter here pretty soon, selling the Motel Safari.
Yes. So that kind of goes into it because, for Ramona to have done what she did, and there and others as well. I mean, the Fries that owned this through the 70s and 80s, they raised five kids here and ran a motel. I mean, it's amazing. But yeah, those I think those days are gone, unless it's just people that really, really connect to this. The hard part for me has just been doing the solo and running a motel, 14 rooms. So it's manageable, but we're so, you know, when we're as busy as we are now, and like I said, people truly expect a motel to be like a chain hotel, that I'm just always standing here at the desk ready to answer the phone at any hour of the day. And I'm always here, and that's a hard thing to commit to. And it's it is a 24/7 gig, and I love the motel, love the people part, but solo has been a big challenge for me. And it's been rewarding for sure, and I don't regret any of it. But I knew earlier this year, just some of it has to do with COVID and staffing and trying to get that back together. Challenges of living in a town that's as isolated as Carrie, doing the solo. If, you know, it makes a difference if you're part of a couple or a team. That would help. But I made the hard decision to put this on the market, and hopefully find the right stewards to take over.
You know, it would be, I can't imagine the challenges in trying to do this as a solo situation. God, I just can't imagine how difficult that must be.
Yeah, I wish I was a little younger. Good.
Oh.
Because my goal was 10 years. I'm 6.5 in. So by the time I actually sell, I could be really close to that. So I'll still, you know, so I'm happy with what I've done, and I'm amazed myself at what I've been able to do and accomplish. So it's all good. I just figured it was time, knowing that my friends Kevin and Nancy at the Blue Swallow, it took them a couple of years to find the right owners. So I just wanted to get the ball rolling. So in case it does take a little time, because it is, it's special people that would need to take this over. So it may take a while to find them.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, it's interesting too. I always try to preface when I promote through my books or programs, some of the motels on Route 66, I always try to preface it, no matter how nice these old motels are, how lovingly they've been cared for, and how attentive the proprietor is. If you are wanting the Holiday Inn Express, a Marriott or a Hilton, you're going to be sorely disappointed. The old motels just don't fit that bill. But man, if you just can't beat these places. You just really can't, in my opinion. The other places, the generic world, just lacks having a soul, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. There's a trade-off. That's why I tell people if they call and they're kind of, I can tell somebody's kind of iffy, kind of on the fence. They've seen us, you know, they see that we're highly rated on Google or TripAdvisor, which the vintage motels here in Tucumcari, they're actually always the top ones on those sites. So that's kind of cool. So people find us that way, but they're still a little hesitant. So, you know, my thinking is there are people that are just meant for chain hotels, chain restaurants.
Yes, I agree.
Mistake of traveling with one. It's not fun, but that's what they want, the comforts, the familiarity of what they know. It takes to get people here, and this is aside from the Route 66 crowd, which is a big part of what we do, but we also get just travelers coming through, and they want a little taste of that, a little, you know, they don't want to commit to driving 66, but they want a little nostalgia, something different, something with character. And the trade-off here is that, you know, there's not a free breakfast, there's not a fitness center, there's not a pool anymore, but there's community. If you choose, you get out of your room, go hang out outside the room or the patio, talk to fellow travelers. A lot of people do that, and it's an experience you're not going to get at a Holiday Inn or Best Western.
No. That's the tangible link, I think, that we live in such a generic world, cold and impersonal. And you mentioned getting together on the patio. That was the essence of travel for so many years. I was just reading, Denny Gibson has a new book, Tracing a Tea to Tampa, about following his great-grandparents' trip from Ohio to Florida and back. And one of the interesting parts of this is that he's reprinted some of the letters from his grandparents, great-grandparents, that inspired this. And, of course, at that time, a lot of it was campgrounds. But I really found it fascinating in reading on how the people would get together at different campgrounds. They would break out musical instruments. They'd sit around the fire at night. They would break bread together. And I think that in its essence is what drives the interest in Route 66 in general, is that kind of personal touch, something that's not so cold and impersonal.
Exactly. I believe that's true. I think people are, even younger people are looking for that now. I get that question a lot too. The millennials here, or Gen Z, I guess, too. And there are. And some of those, I think that's part of it. They're looking for something beyond their cell phones and something beyond, you know, digital. And actual having that human contact and talking to someone, making eye contact and having a conversation and, you know, putting the phone away and actually enjoying the people that are right there in front of you. And that's a huge thing. And I think it's good for everybody, and even older folks, you know, even my generation. I mean, it's, you know, there's people that just need to put the phones away and enjoy what's staring them in the face. And this is a good way to make that happen. And that's my favorite part of it. The patio nights are far and away will be the best, excuse me, will be the best memories I take away from this. It's just some amazing nights, and it still works like what you were saying. Somebody's traveling with a guitar, pulls out a guitar and starts playing on the patio around the fire pit. Or you get people that would never have met, never have connected in any other way, except that they were all staying here that night. And so you get, you know, Germans traveling 66, meeting people from Kentucky, you know, rural Kentucky. And I've had that happen where people meet and they connect and learn. And it's a cool thing.
One of the strangest memories I have of meeting people like this on Route 66, I stayed at the Wagon Wheel Motel a few years back, and it was late fall, one of those mornings in the Ozarks where you have that thick morning mist, fog almost. And I'm an early riser, and I hear bagpipes. And I go outside, and this fella's standing in the fog, He's from Scotland. He's in full kilt with bagpipes playing the Star Spangled Banner at sunrise. That was a different kind of experience.
I've not had bagpipes yet. That would be really, really cool. But that's one
thing I've not had. You took a trip with a Fiat, if I remember, too. That was pretty interesting.
That was the first Route 66 trip we did. So it was a it was very interesting. We my buddy Brett is a big car guy. He worked with a museum in near Nashville. That's a vintage car museum in an old Brett Factory Lane Motor Museum. It's really cool if you're ever in the area. And they were importing a Fiat Multipla over to have at the museum. And they were kind enough to let us drive it out to LA and actually left it there, and it was driven back by someone else. So that was kind of cool. We, that was a trip we did. It was about this time of the year, late October, early November. And, so it didn't have AC. So that was good that we did it when we did, but, it was a very interesting trip. It was a mid-sized SUV type thing. It was from the 80s. I can't remember the year now, but it was a very interesting way to do 66 the first time. The second time was in my Jeep. That was a lot of fun because we did a little bit of trespassing. So I got to do La Bajada Pass before they completely shut it down. We did it out to the trading post, painted desert before Rich and the crew restored it. So that was kind of neat to be able to do those things. But that's the cool thing about Route 66. Every trip is different, and the car is part of the, it's one of the personalities, one of the characters in the trip. So that's kind of cool. But yeah,
I've been obsessed for years, and I'm going to just have to do it, but I want to do Route 66 end to end in a Model A Ford. Just one of those, I can have my head examined afterwards, but it's, something I just really want to do. That's another aspect of Route 66 that I personally find really enjoyable is meeting people and talking to people that are driving some of the most unusual vehicles. And there's almost always a story behind why they're driving those vehicles.
Exactly, yeah. And that was part of the fun for us on that first trip was that people would stop us, and if we're parked at a gas station or any of the stops along 66, it was an instant conversation starter because they wanted to know what that was, and because there's not, it's never been seen in the U.S. It's a European car, and so it was right hand drive, so we had fun with that, confusing people on the road, and the car was, like I said, it was like another person on the trip. It had its own character, and it opened up a lot of conversations with people, and we really enjoyed that. That's my goal. Next trip, hopefully the 100th anniversary, same friend is restoring a 68 Fastback, and I really want to do the trip in that.
A few years ago, I met, helped some, an elderly couple. I saw them at Napa Auto Parts. They had a late 30s Chrysler Airflow with a teardrop trailer. And they were celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. They had gotten married in Ohio, as I recall, and had an old used Chrysler Airflow in a little trailer. They'd moved to California shortly after they were married. And they picked up Route 66 in central Illinois and had followed it to California. And they had since then restored this Chrysler Airflow and decided for their 60th anniversary to recreate that trip. Wow. And the old fellow was having a little trouble getting, it was overheating a bit there. He was down at Napa. I was able to help him change out some radiator hoses. It's kind of an interesting story and some really interesting people.
That's like I said, that's part of this I absolutely love is being part of other people's trips, and especially part of helping them relive memories of past trips. And I'm always excited when a vintage car pulls in the drive-through because fits. It's just, you know, it's just suddenly, no matter what else is going on, you just stop and you're like, oh, that's just cool. And I have the utmost respect for people to do that, because it's a commitment. You gotta know a little bit about your car. You gotta be prepared for about just about anything. You gotta be flexible. You gotta have a sense of humor and be able to.
You know, we've forgotten that it wasn't that many years ago that was what you did. You repaired tires, tubes along the road, and you traveled without air conditioning. And reading Denny's book, Tracing a T from Tampa, it's interesting to read these letters talking about being cold. They're driving a Model T touring car in November to Florida, and it was 18 degrees near Nashville. Man.
I think that's part of the cool thing about these road trips like this is that, I mean, I'm going to have to read that book. I love travel books. I read one last year, Spying on the South, where this gentleman, Tony Horowitz, retraced the trip that Frederick Law Olmsted, who designed Central Park in New York, he was a reporter for New York Times before that, didn't even know that. And he retraced the step that he did after the Civil War, trying to gauge the temperature, I guess, the mindset of people. And that's something I may do in February. I close for a month and I may do that Texas trip that he did. And because it's interesting. And I think what you're talking about too is just the going through different landscapes and temperature, you know, climates. And that's a lot of fun. That's what I love about 66 is you go through so much, and the landscape changes, the weather changes, people, food, all of it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You get away from there again, from the generic, you get to really experience the so-called heartland of America. You know, you were talking about travel books. This is one I highly recommend if you're not familiar with. It's called By Motor to the Golden Gate. It's been reprinted. It's now available on Amazon.com. And it was written by Emily Post. She took a trip from New York to California, most of it along the National Old Trails Highway and the National Old Trails Road in the Southwest. But she did this in 1915. And it's got a lot of photographs, too, of her trip. And that makes for a very interesting read.
Yeah, that's a list.
You know, would I be prying, or have you given much thought to what the next stage of the Larry Smith adventure is going to be when you sell the motel?
I have. There is still a slight chance that it could be Arizona, but I'm truly believing it'll be Tennessee. So I'm working with a buddy of mine. You met him in February when you graciously met us in Kingman for a little tour. That was John, and we are talking about doing something most likely back in Tennessee, but something more along the idea of a vintage camper park. And because I love the hospitality field, I want something. I don't want to have to rely on staffing so much. This really requires having people here to help me turn the rooms over, and that's been the challenge the last few years. During and after COVID. And so we're thinking, you know, starting out with a few campers and then having spots for people to bring their own. And that way it's, you know, we got a few to clean, but I told him I like the benefits of still getting that, the same crowd, because you're going to get the same type of people, the fun, adventurous folks, not just the mean, let's make great time on the interstate people. You know, I want to, because I really do enjoy that part of it a lot. And I don't want to, you know, I think I found my niche, but it's just the motel doing this here part. And also I miss friends and family. I miss having people around. And that's,
yes. No place like home.
Yeah. And this was always meant to be temporary. Like I said, my goal was 10 years. I thought I'd like to be here for the 100th anniversary, but I think I'd rather be driving it. So that's kind of, so I don't know, I've got to figure all that out. But right now that's kind of what we're thinking is vintage camper park. And there's really not a lot of that back home in Tennessee. There's more of it out west. So I think there could be a, we find the right place, and that's going to be the goal. So we're, you know, that's the hope. We'll see what happens.
Larry, thank you so much for taking time this morning to do this. If anybody has any questions, please chime in and holler at us here. And if you're looking for a business opportunity, I don't have a bridge in Brooklyn I can sell you, but I happen to know where there's a great vintage motel for sale.
If I can do a quick plug, it is. I mean, it's as truly turnkey as anything could be. It's a, I mean, I've set this up to where, you know, the right people can come in and just take this over and run with it. And they can even build on what I've done because they're still unfinished rooms. They're still, you know, I close a bit because it's just me and I have to take a break. And there's so many opportunities with this motel. And it's such an amazing place. And it's kind of ignored for a long time, and to see it really come back to life and to get the second wind, second life. It's been really cool. I would love to see some great people come in and take over from what, you know, the tally started and what I've continued, and really just continue to make it an incredible motel.
You know, I don't think you'll have much problem. I'm seeing a trend. It started before COVID, but I've seen it escalate since then of people quitting traditional jobs, if you will, and doing things like buying the Motel Safari and making it a family operation. I'm finding cafes, motels, little places where mom, dad, and now the kids are, you know, they're married and they're jumped in and helping too, just like it used to be. They're making, you know, a family business out of these things.
Well, I think it's a good thing. And that it's like I said, I had to escape the corporate world, and it's, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I wouldn't, you know, there's never been a moment that I regretted that decision, because, you know, even the most challenging day here, all the decisions are mine, you know, right or wrong. I make the calls. I decide what happens, and it's, you know, I don't have to run anything at the flagpole, table it for later discussion, any of those awful things I got sick of hearing. But it's very liberating. There's freedom in it, even though I'm here all the time. It doesn't, you know, to someone else it may not seem like freedom, but there's freedom in doing, charting your own course and doing what you want.
The best thing I ever did was my dearest friend, my wife, she encouraged me to finally give up on my job almost 10 years ago. And I explained it that I had eye trouble. I could no longer see any reason to put up with their bullshit, and they couldn't see any reason to put up with my increasingly poor attitude. So we parted ways, and it's probably the best thing I've ever done.
Sounds very familiar. I don't regret it a moment. The worst moment here is still better than average day sitting at a desk in a big corporation. So yes, I love that part of it. So it's like the hotel's great. I just really, really want to find the right people to take it on. So yeah. So anybody that's listening can definitely reach out. Love to talk to you.
Larry, thank you so very much for doing this. I want to thank everybody who joined us this morning. And next week, we're going to have some fun. We're going to be talking about road trips past and present with Denny Gibson, the author of this particular book, Tracing a T to Tampa. But Denny, I've known Denny for many years, have a few of his books. He's had some interesting adventures on the Jefferson Highway and the Lincoln Highway and a few others. And I think we're going to have some fun next week talking road trips. So I hope you can join us. It'll be about the same time, 7:00 next Sunday morning. And with that said, we'll kind of wrap this thing up a little bit. For those who are traveling in this part of the country, it's nice and sunny and 40 degrees this morning. Yeah, I don't know how long we can put up with this out here, this weather. It looks like it's another week of sunshine and warm, 65 and 70, day after day, sunshine and warm. How much of that can a person put up with, for God's sakes? But we've got that going, and then a couple other things. We're going to be talking to T. Lindsey Baker pretty soon. I have Scott Dahl. He is the Convention and Visitor Bureau Director in Springfield, Illinois. He'll be joining us in a couple weeks. We'll be talking about all the exciting things they're getting ready to do in Springfield for the centennial of Route 66 and the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. Should be a lot of fun. There again, thanks everybody for joining us. If you find yourself on the road, consider a stop in Tucumcari Motel Safari, Roadrunner Lodge, all great places to stay. And Tucumcari deserves more than just a cursory overnight stop. You owe it to yourself to do a little exploration. And don't forget, they've got a nice little theater downtown. You can keep that sense of time travel going with a visit to the 1936 Odeon Theater. My friends, until next week, take care, be careful, and enjoy the adventure. Larry, take care, and if you find yourself out this way, holler. Got some really exciting developments out here in Kingman I think you'd find of interest.
I'm sure I would. I will keep that in mind. I know I'll make it back out some point soon.
I'm sure you will. My pa always said, even though you were talking about Texas and Tennessee, my pa always said the world's round. You head east long enough, you're out west.
Well, that's true. Wise words.
Guys, hey, take care, my friends, and we will do this again next week. Vaya que Dios, mi amigos. Thank you, Larry.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride.
Thank you, everyone, who joined us this morning. And, well, like I say, we'll be back next week. We got a lot of exciting things to talk about, a lot of projects to discuss, and getting ready for a new year and new adventures shared with friends. Take care, my friends, and we'll do this again next week. Meantime, if you're planning a road trip and you need a little help with that, the United States or Canada, take a look at our good friends from Route Trip USA. They may be based in England, but they are specialists for bespoke holiday adventures in the United States or Canada. And like us at Jim Hinckley's America, they taste the enchiladas and test the pillows before they send you out on the road. Good folks there. Give Steven a holler if you need some help with that road trip planning. Until next week, my friends, adios.